Arnold Branded with Falsehood by Hugh Dorsey. The Atlanta Constitution, Wednesday, the 29th of October, 1913, page 1, column 3, advises lawyer for defense to take purgative to rid his system of some of its miasma. Dirty tactics charged by Solicitor General Dorsey's speech is concluded. Rosser will make address today, and the case then goes to the judge. With a blistering attack upon Rube Arnold, in which the attorney was accused not only of deliberate falsehoods, but of having lost through his activity in the Frank case the public esteem and appreciation of the people of Georgia, Solicitor General Hugh M. Dorsey concluded his stirring argument in the Frank hearing late yesterday afternoon. Mr. Arnold has made charges against me and against Judge Roan that are deliberate falsehoods. He happens not to be in the room at this time. I wish he were. I therefore ask you, Mr. Rosser, as his colleague, to deliver to him this message which I am going to send. Mr. Rosser, who was sitting only a few feet distance, arose and, turning so that he faced both the solicitor and Judge Roan, said, "I'm no talebearer. If you have anything to say of Mr. Arnold, I think it would be more appropriate to say it to him in person. Please do not consider me a slander courier. Sends message to Arnold." "Then," continued Mr. Dorsey heatedly, "I'll say this much as advice to Mr. Arnold. If I were in his place, I'd take a purgative and get rid of some of the miasma and putrefaction that rankles in his system. He needs even more. He needs a drastic cathartic. I am sure that if he would turn his back on a little of the money the Brooklyn friends and relatives are putting up for Mr. Leo M. Frank, that he would clean his mind and soul of the fire and fury therein that are being paid to blaze. The community will not hold the lofty opinion it has held of Mr. Arnold until he does this. Mark my prediction. The public he has maligned and abused knows enough that where the defense has been dirty in its tactics, that the prosecution has been clean, the charge that the public has lost its head, and that you, Your Honor, and I, and the detectives have lost, and that a clean and wholesome jury was perjured, is so diabolical that I am sure Your Honor will not even consider this motion for a new trial. The public mind does not. I am sure you will not." These were the final words of the solicitor's argument, which extended less than an hour, more than a day. Rosser promises attack. When he had finished, Mr. Rosser arose from his seat for the second time. As the solicitor took his seat, Rosser said, "If Dorsey means to assert that I am not going to say he has done dirty things in this case, he is terribly mistaken, for I am going to say it. And it might be well to mention that I have ample evidence to substantiate such accusation I make." Before other words could be, Judge Roan adjourned the session until Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, when Mr. Rosser will begin his speech. To a reporter for the Constitution, Mr. Rosser said that he hardly thought his argument would last over a day less, in all probability. The most of Solicitor Dorsey's speech Tuesday was devoted to citations of law, upholding his attacks upon the four grounds of the defense's motion, which he chose to combat. These particular grounds were those based upon demonstrations of the crowds at the trial, Conley's testimony, Judge Roan's charge, and upon alleged jury prejudice. The room in which the hearing was held was filled with a young law library. Not less than 200 cases were recited during the course of his speech, each tending to uphold the solicitor in his various arguments. He was assisted by E.A. Stevens, who is associated with him in the solicitor's office. Defense accuses everybody. "The defense," he said in part, "finds cause to accuse almost everybody within range of everything from neglect of duty to wrongdoing of all conceivable kinds. They accuse Your Honor, my friend Hooper, myself, the detective department, and every man on the sheriff's staff. Why is it? It is purely this and nothing more. They have lumbered all this mass of stuff in here merely as some excuse to ask Your Honor to set aside a verdict which he conscientiously known is correct and capable of withstanding any storm that might brew in the future. But such tactics are only in keeping with every other thing they are doing. There is absolutely no justification for this motion. They have no grounds, and they know it. That is the pathetic thing about the whole business. To watch the defense beating around in the dark like snipe hunters, doing every possible thing to find something on which they might be able to base a desperate plea. Why, just look how ridiculous some of these pieces of evidence are. The Sam Borstein affidavit, for instance. Colonel Samuel Borstein, lawyer. He swears he saw a juror put his head out of a window at Kimball House. Poor juror. Poor Colonel Borstein. It is the most absurd proposition I have ever heard of. There isn't a ground in the entire motion that has to it even a semblance of merit. I know it, Your Honor knows it, and the poor, desperate defense knows it, if the defense wasn't composed of such capable law." Continued on page 5. Page 5, column 5, Arnold branded with falsehood, continued from page 1. yours as Messrs. Rosser and Arnold, why your honor wouldn't take the pains to listen to it, sanctions red-handed crime. If you accept the kind of policy the defense would have you accept, your honor will be literally sanctioning red-handed crime and giving freedom to criminals. If they had shown credible evidence by unimpeachable witness, they might have had a chance for a new trial. But knowing the evidence and circumstances, as does your honor, you cannot possibly do anything toward granting their wish. If you disqualify jurors on such flimsy evidence as has been produced by the defendants, you will have a hard time ever getting a jury in the future. In some cases, Minnie, I'm afraid you'll never get one. It will be an impossibility. Let me tell you something. There isn't a man in the state more honorable and peaceful than these men, Joe Henning and Hensley. And in saying this, I include every man from the governor down. Is it any wonder that when such men as these are allowed to be attacked, that the people are growing to hold the court and law in contempt? Now let me say this much, and I say it with all sincerity and feeling. If this man Joe Henning and this man Hensley have done what the defense accused, they ought to be sent to the penitentiary, for if such is the case, justice is a fraud and court trial a farce. Consider it a moment, that you'll agree that I am right. Militia will be necessary. If your honor would do such a thing as grant a new trial on the ground of demonstrations and outbreaks of the crowd, then he will permit things to come to such a pass where it will be necessary to muster out the military to keep guard. We will have court in the future at the point of bayonets and loaded guns. Regarding your honor's charge, on which is based one of the grounds for a new trial, I do not think it necessary for me to dwell at all. They do not necessitate combat. I have enough confidence in your honor's knowledge of law and in his discretion. I will not give dignity to this ground by making reply. To tell the truth, I believe that this ground was inherited in the motion to give bulk, and for purely no other reason. You can readily see that such is the case in almost all the other grounds. Page 5, column 6. Knights of Pythias will convene today. All lodges in the 5th Georgia Congressional District will gather in Atlanta. The annual convention of the Knights of Pythias of the 5th District, which includes all the lodges within the 5th Congressional District of Georgia, will be held today at the Knights of Pythias Hall in the Kaiser Building. At 3 o'clock, a meeting of the delegates from the various lodges in the district will be held for the purpose of reorganization and the election of district officers for the coming year, and to transact routine businesses. At 8 o'clock in the hall, a Pythian rally will be held, to which all Knights of Pythias have been invited, whether in good standing or not. The rally is to be a general get-together meeting, and an effort will be made to re-enlist all members who, for various reasons, have ceased to be actively connected with the order. Practically all of the grand officers of the state are expected to attend the rally, and speeches will be made by all of the grand officers present and by several local Pythians of high rank. Supreme Chancellor Thomas J. Carling of Macon, the head of the entire order, has been invited to attend and will probably make an address before the meeting. Past Grand Master Milan of Cartersville and Hamilton Douglas, past Chancellor and past Supreme Representative of the Order, and Troy Beatty of Athens, Grand Prelate, past Chancellor Shepherd Bryan, Miller Bell of Milledgeville, present Grand Chancellor, H.M. Stanley of Dublin, Grand Vice Chancellor Joseph P. Smith, past Grand Chancellor James W. Austin, Attorney Frank Hooper and Joseph P. Smith will make short addresses. Refreshments will be served during the evening and an orchestra has been engaged to furnish music. Page 12, column 2, professional cards, P.H. Brewster, Albert Howell, Jr., Hugh M. Dorsey, Arthur Heyman, Dorsey, Brewster, Howell and Herman, attorneys at law, offices 202, 204, 205, 206, 207, 208, 210, Kaiser Building, Atlanta, Gay. Long-distance telephone 3022, 3024, and 3025, Atlanta, Gay.